Okay, who'd like to start off, Reg?
I'd like to. Now, you've seen the tape. A couple of those throws that Jay made yesterday were unbelievable. I'm thinking particularly of that slant to Brandon Marshall where he threw through like four people.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me too, to be honest with you. That was a great catch, great concentration. McKenzie had it covered. His hand was right in there, and somehow he got it in there.
So he just says, is that just Jay's anticipation? Because he was looking left to look the safety off. And when his eyes came back, I mean, he instantly made that throw.
Well, he's looking at the left because that's where his primary receiver was, and it was covered, so he came back to the other side. And third down, fortunately, he made a play.
What's going on with the offense? You know, obviously getting off to a quick start, and Brandon Stokley, we were talking to him in the locker room, and obviously getting the number of points out there, but the offense is kind of stalling a little bit. Do you think it's any relaxation going on mentally? You know, what would you say?
You weren't pleased with the offense?
I was very pleased with the
Okay. Offense. But we weren't quite good enough?
It was awesome.
No, you're right, though. We did. We sputtered a couple times, and, you know, it doesn't take much. You know, you just got to be a little off here or there. But, you know, you have eight possessions. You got three touchdowns and a couple field goals. And as you mentioned, yeah, we weren't perfect by no means. We left some points on the field, and that's why you work. That's why you practice to try to eliminate those mistakes. And we'll go back to the drawing board, try to get a little bit better this week.
For the review, what's your read of the defense?
Well, number one, you know, we've talked about it from day one. You got to be able to stop the run to have a chance to have a good defense. And we did that, 3.5 yards per rushing attempt. And that's where you start. We'll get better with our pass defense as time goes on. We're doing a number of things that are new in comparison to a year ago. And that'll just take some time. But if we have the effort that we had overall, offense, defense, and special teams, good things will happen with our football team.
You're not alarmed.
No, like I said, I'm not alarmed at all. Because we get that type of effort, good things are going to happen. But you are alarmed because you gave up too many passing yards. But that's something you can work on, something you can get better at. You know, you got drops in different zones. You get different things that different offenses do that you have to adjust to. And when you got a little different scheme in here against some good quarterbacks, sometimes they take advantage of a couple opportunities, a couple big plays. But we got to get better on third downs. You know, they were 8-for-14 in third downs. We got third down and 12, third down and 7 when it's 21-3, and game's almost over. And you know, just got to be off a little bit in your zone drops, and you got to make a tackle here or there. But it's something that we can work on, especially with that type of effort. That was as hard as we've played for a long time.
Have you been a big proponent of the 3-4, and what was the reasoning behind that, and how did you think it worked?
Well, just a little different look, a little different scheme. It was a good change-up for us, and you know, we've got different game plans each week. We'll throw a little wrinkle here and there, and it's not necessarily a straight 3-4 defense, even though it appears to be, but everybody does things different ways in passing situations, and you know, something that we worked on this week that I thought looked pretty good.
Mike, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Does your staff take a little bit of solace knowing that week in, week out, you're probably not going to base passing offenses like
base-wise? No, this is a National Football League, and there's a lot of good teams. And I think we do know that Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees are obviously exceptional, and you know, you give them a certain look, and they're going to take advantage of it. Like I said, we could have put them away early. In a couple situations, we didn't. They get a little confidence going, made some big plays when they had to. But like I said, you know, you got to start somewhere. And if you can average 3.5 yards per rushing attempt, you got a chance to improve in the passing game. And we'll improve in that area because we've gotten some great effort out of our players.
You talk all the time about the yards per attempt in terms of the rush. Is that, now I'm talking offense, is that more important to you than the balance between the throw and pass?
You know, it's really kind of who you're going against. You know, each game is a little different. You know, one game they might be trying to take away the run and you throw the football, and then they're taking away the pass and you run the football. To me, you have to have the ability to do both. Could be bad weather conditions where you have to run the football. Could be teams don't respect your run, and then you have to throw. Usually when you get to the playoffs, you're not going to go very far.
Just talking about your running backs, how do you think that they've come along? How are they handling the not getting as many carries as probably they're used to?
Well, I'm not sure if they're used to getting a lot of carries to start with. You know, we've got Selvin, and we've got Andre, and we've got Michael Pittman. They all got a role, and we're trying to keep these guys fresh. And I believe in all the running backs that we have, and we're going with a five-play rotation with Selvin and Andre, and they're doing a good job with yards per attempt. And then Michael is kind of our workhorse, where he's helping us in short yardage goal line and helping us in substituted packages, and he's doing an excellent job. So I like the rotation that we have, and we'll probably stay that way.
Mike, on the broadcast, I don't know if this is true, they mentioned that since training camp, you don't really talk to Jay Cutler as much about football, that it's kind of off football now anymore. Does that with Jeremy? Is that more of a mark of Cutler's personality or just your trust in, you know, his relationship with Bates?
Well, we talk about football with our coaching staff all through the off season. You know, what we're going to do, our installation. You work for 3 or 4 months straight trying to decide what direction you're going to go philosophically, offense, defense, and special teams. And once you get to the season, every coach has got their position, and they're going over their game plan. And very few times you meet as a group, unless you're probably going over a running game, and then you do separate. And anytime you're assistant coach, you know, you're spending a lot of hours with that quarterback. I spend, 12, 14 hours a day as an assistant coach with those quarterbacks. You go through in the morning, you go through the afternoon, you go through the evening, getting ready. There's not enough hours in a day. As a head coach, I get a chance to watch all the meetings, see what's going on. Obviously, on the field, you'll make comments when you see something, but you got to have good coaches, and I got some great coaches.
Mike, that last play where DJ made the tackle, it looked like a great play when it happened, but then when you watch the tape, it might have been a touchdown. There was a big hole on the other side. Is that assessment correct, and how huge is that play for him?
No, that was a correct assessment. We were obviously in a very short yardage goal line situation, so we had everybody up there expecting some type of power play or a snake or a dive over the top. And DJ was free in the backside, and with his speed and quickness was able to make the tackle on the backside and did a great job. Yeah, it's his natural position. He played it through college, and you go to the Mike linebacker and you've never played in your career, it does take some time to get used to. And DJ is such a great athlete and made a lot of big plays. Linebackers played well, and like I said, we got to shore up some things in our pass defense side. That's obvious. But we can get better at that in a short time. The thing you can't get better at is stopping the run, and hopefully we can keep on playing at that level and improve and get the effort that we had in that game.
How much does it help the morale of the defense that even though they have some problems, you're 3-0? You've won all those games.
Well, the thing that I was pleased with, that you're always happy to be 3-0. When you take a look at a game when a team gets 500 yards offense, usually you're getting guys that aren't playing as hard as you'd like. And if you get guys playing at that level, that intensity, even though they did get the yards, you got a chance to get better.
Given that your priority is, I assume, all about winning the game, does the entertainment value of your team factor into your thinking at all?
Well, it has to do with personnel. That's the key. You're going to do what you think gives you the best chance to win. And, you may have a weak left offensive tackle. You may have a weak wide receiver. You may have a weak tight end. Obviously not talking about our football team, but when you're presented with those situations, you may have injuries. You got to do what you need to do to win. And you can't run the same offense, or you might not be able to run the same defense if you don't have those players, and you've got to adjust your game plan accordingly. And when you do have, you feel like everything fits and everything's working on all cylinders, then you got a chance to attack a lot more and keep the defense a little bit more off balance, both with the run and the pass. And the great teams, once they get rolling, they can do both.
Mike, is there a more physically gifted receiver in the league than Brennan?
Well, I'm not on every team. I think you get a good feel for the for your football team. But I know one thing, I wouldn't trade him for anybody.
You ever see anybody as good? You coached Jerry Rice, I know. But mm-hmm. You ever see anybody as good after the catch?
I think he's just starting. I think you're going to see him break a lot more long runs as time goes on. I don't think he's even scratched the surface with his big plays. I think you started to see that Sunday. But I think as he gets more confidence, he's just going to get better and better, lowering that head, lowering that shoulder, and running over those DBs. There's a guy that's 6'5", 230 pounds, and You know, he knocked out two defensive ends and safety last year in three consecutive games. So he's a very physical guy, and once he learns to turn up consistently like he did Sunday, he's gonna make some more of those long runs. But yeah, he's a talented guy, that's for sure. He made some big time catches, and Jay made some big time throws. And like I said, we left very perceptive. We left a number of points on the field yesterday.
How much does that excite you as a coach to know that your offense scored 34 points, mm-hmm. but when you look at the film, you could have had 14, 21 more points, and just look at the talent that you had to work with?
Well, really, we scored 27, and when Nate picked that thing up and went for a touchdown, there was four or five blocks for Nate that were just kind of off the charts. I mean, if you take a look at guys blocking downfield, defensive linemen, linebackers, corners, that should have been probably a 5-6 yard gain. But if you take a look at that very closely, you're going, holy cow. Well, that's a lot of guys playing very hard. But you get down inside the 10-yard line, we had that fumble. And then we had inside, obviously, again, inside the 20, we didn't get in. So we left some points out there.
Mike, has been any different for you with as young as this team is, managing this team? Is it any different for you this season as a coach with how young you are? How many young players you have?
No, not really. You know, the thing that you just don't know until you get into your OTAs and you just don't know what you have. But as I shared with you before, I've been impressed with our young guys, and I think it really showed up on special teams. This week, the effort that we had, some young guys coming through. But you get guys like Larson and Woodyard, and I mean, guys just blowing people up down the field. I don't know if you saw that first kickoff coverage, but I don't think I've ever seen somebody get hit as hard as Spencer Larson delivered on that one of those backs on the kickoff return. That's the hardest hit that I've seen since I've been in the National Football League. It looked like he decapitated his head and he just pushed him right back. But that's what you're hoping for, young guys stepping up and getting a chance to get better.
In retrospect, did the guys need more time, do you think, to adjust to the 3-4? And the reason why I say that is just because some of the guys in the locker room were saying that they had, different ideas of communication, especially in those third down situations, just dealing with the new communication.
Well, to be honest with you, on the defense, it's harder to communicate at home because for obvious reasons. And we use crowd noise on Fridays, so it helps in those signals. We got screwed up a little bit on a few of our signals, but hey, that's why you practice, and that's why you practice with crowd noise. So we'll improve in that area.
Has the earpiece made that any easier at all?
Yeah, it does to the linebackers, but you still got to signal in into the secondary. So your linebackers may get the call, but you may have a certain adjustment for a certain empty set, for a certain slot set. So you're just talking to one guy. He still has to communicate it to the rest of the team, especially in where formations are different than, personnel groupings.
About your young players, one more real quick. When you go, you look at how mature that group is. Does that go back? Is that a byproduct of your draft strategy, looking for guys who are mature and could come in right away and handle all this?
Now, you don't really know. I think when you take a look at our young guys, you take a look at a guy like Ryan Clady. Number one, he's very talented. Number two, he's very mature. He came in OTAs, no setbacks physically, and you take a look at Ryan Harris, even though he was with us last year, he was out the majority of the time, and another guy that's very mature and very athletic. And Eddie Royal, you never know with a wide receiver how long it takes for him to come in or how mature he is, and he's fit right in the system. Peyton has come in, and he's done good. It hasn't been perfect by no means, but fullback's always a work in progress, and he's hit at full speed. So from the offensive side, we've got a lot of guys really step up that are young players. You don't get that all the time, and a lot of times you're lucky when it does happen. We knew they were skilled, but you're always hoping they're mature enough to handle situations, but you don't know until they actually get under fire.
Knowing that you keep track of these numbers, is 3-0 any better indication historically of where a team's going than 2-0?
I know it's better than 2-0. That's what I can tell you. I can't tell you those percentages. But sure, nice to be 3-0, and I think our guys are realistic. We've got a ways to go. We've got a good start, and we've made some strides, and we're far from where we want to be, but it's a good start.
You didn't add up the 3-0 teams that didn't
make it? No, I haven't. I know you guys would share that with me, and maybe on Wednesday.
How do you think fast Bailey's containment is on the opposing tight end. Obviously, you got a big one coming up too this week, but even with Jeremy Shockey.
Well, he's good. You know, it all depends what coverages you're in. You know, you can always isolate a tight end unless you're in man-to-man coverage all the time. But, you know, we got some great tight ends in the league, obviously. Gonzalez is as good as it gets. And, you know, we'll be challenged, not just from the tight end, but all different positions, especially with as many yards as we've gotten up the last couple games. We've got to make some strides and get better. But like I said, with the effort, with our ability to stop the run, with the way these guys are working, I really believe we'll get there, and we'll get there shortly.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was second last week. We used him in a certain personnel grouping, and Nate, we learned, used another personnel grouping. So, got a lot of confidence in all the tight ends. You know, Daniel Graham, as well as Tony, as well as Nate, even on the goal line when we went to Nate. So, you know, that's a luxury you want to have. You want to have three tight ends where you can move them around and keep them fresh, and depending on what type of game plan you have, you can utilize your talents.
There wasn't anything in particular you wanted to see?
No, last week we thought we had a mismatch with Tony under safety, and we utilized him more a week ago, and you know this week had a little different game plan.
Could you address specifically what you saw out of your pass rush and whether you think that 3-4 alignment with two outside backers might at some point be able to enhance that sort of the way New England?
Well, you know, New England is a much different type 3-4 team. You know, they usually, we use a lot different than New England. I mean, they're basically a straight 3-4. We used our outside linebackers and inside linebackers on pressure yesterday quite a bit, even though we didn't, he's pretty sharp. He knows how to get rid of the ball fairly quickly. So even though it didn't work out, I think it'll pay dividends down the line, as you mentioned, with you got a three-man rush. You're not really sure who's coming. Two outside guys, two inside guys, you know. With a four-man front, you know, the disadvantage in a four-man front, they know the front four is normally coming, and you can see the other guy coming, and you know what the coverage is. So, you know, we kind of mix it up a little bit, and I think it'll pay dividends down the line.
Is some of the consideration there a personnel issue where you feel you have four linebackers, if everybody's healthy, who are pretty good, and it's hard to pick three and leave the fourth?
Yeah, well, that's you've got to feel good about your linebackers to play that. And Jamie Winborn played exceptionally well against the Raiders in the preseason games when Boss was out. So, you know, we do have the luxury now to, you know, do some three-man looks, which maybe in the past with five linebackers you didn't. You know, we have seven on our team now with Lou Green. And we believe that kind of fits some of the things we can do. And so, you know, I'm not going to give you our game plan, but it does give us the ability to change things up a little bit more.
Hey, Mike, down at the goal line, Dwayne Robertson seemed like he was the key to those two, one stop particularly, but then the fumble right after that might be attributed to him as well. Is that true?
Yeah, that big fourth and one, he got some penetration on the right side, and Nate went in there and made a great stop, and the other one, DJ, made a great stop, and everybody's got a gap in that goal line, and there's got to be penetration and to stop them in that situation. Your defensive front has to play extremely well, and like you mentioned, Dwayne got almost into the backfield, and Nate just met him right at the line of scrimmage.
Mike, things are pretty ugly in Kansas City. Do you have any empathy for their situation? Does it make you a little nervous going in and playing a team that's had down?
Well, you know how well Kansas City has played us, you know, through the years, and we know we're going to get their best shot. And I don't really worry about what's been done in the past, because if you really believe that going to Kansas City, you know, you can get embarrassed pretty quickly. So, you know, in this profession, you better worry about your own team and get them ready, and our team will be ready.
And when Brandon came in, there was talk, even among you and some of the other coaches, that he could be a tight end early on when he first was drafted. What did you see that changed your mind that said, okay, this guy can be a receiver?
Well, one of the reasons why he went in the fourth round, that when you watch them play, you know, you saw a guy that made some plays, but he did not show the speed or quickness that he has shown once he got here to the first day. You weren't sure if he did have the speed to be a wide receiver. He did play very good when he went to one of the bowl games, and his workout, he looked exceptional. But when you looked at him on tape, you could not see that speed and quickness that you see in person. And, you know, the first day that he practiced, Champ Bailey looked over at me and said, "How'd you get this guy in the fourth round?" So, you know, if everybody knew the type of speed and quickness that he had, you know, obviously he would have been a top 10 pick.
Do you think some of that was because they haven't played defense?
Well, he played defense his junior year, and that's when they lost their safety, and I believe he was a leading tackler. But his senior year, he didn't play any defense. He was just a wide receiver, and you just didn't see that speed on tape. You saw a guy that was still 4.5 speed or 4.55, but you didn't see the quickness that you saw once he got here. So we'd have took him a lot earlier. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, it looks smart, right?